Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We've hit the near midway point of the Major League Baseball season. In fact, we're basically there. I know the trade deadline is still about a month away, and we got into great detail on that particular conversation yesterday. Today, we're going to focus on midterm grades, and we'll also talk about the first perfect game of the season last night. Domingo Germán for the New York Yankees mowing down the Oakland A's. Joining us right now over the phone to have that conversation, we have Steve Fortstein. Great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Steve, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the time. Appreciate it very much.
When I talk about Germán's perfect game last night, does it count if it's against the A's?
It should come with an asterisk. I mean, we're big fans of the asterisk now, but you know, I mean, look, a perfect game is amazing, and I don't know if you feel the same way about it that I do, but like when you know the pitcher's in that mode, right? You watch the pitcher, you want to see, you know, when you're watching it on TV or you're at a game, you're lucky enough to be at something like that. You always end up watching the pitcher. You end up like almost forgetting about the game itself, especially an 11-0 blowout. But I was fascinated by when he came on the mound for the ninth inning and just like he didn't change anything. Germán kept very much to his task. He threw strikes. He didn't try to overthrow. He didn't let the moment catch up. He didn't let the moment get to him. And that's what happens so many times, is it gets in their head. So congratulations to him. And I don't know the exact year, and I don't know how long it's been in prior years, but I think this is the latest into a regular season that in Major League Baseball that we've had either a perfect game or a no-hitter.
Yeah, and one of the other aspects that we don't need to get into, but it is factual, right? If we're talking, Marquez is now, Germán Marquez of the Rockies. Domingo Germán has already been suspended, and he's got a sub-500 record going into last night's game. It hasn't exactly been a season of just butterfly and rainbows for this guy.
No. And, you know, the fact that he's had that up and down season, like his most recent outing was god awful.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was terrible. So it's great to see that. And, you know, maybe that's the one thing also on the flip side of the argument, does it count that it occurred against the A's? Maybe this is the one thing the Yankees can kind of hang their hat on this season, because other than Aaron Judge having another one of his Aaron Judge-like years, it's been a subpar year for the Yankees so far. So maybe this is the thing that kind of turns them around in the right direction.
And as far as the Yankees are concerned, it's one of the bigger disappointments for me. Going back to our season preview at the beginning of the year, I liked Atlanta and the Yankees in the World Series. I think I've been spot on when it comes to Atlanta, but boy, both the New York teams just absolutely stink. And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about the Mets, because, Steve, I have just ranted and raved about this franchise all week here on the show. But as we hit the midway point, you're hard-pressed to find a bigger disappointment than what's happening with that other New York team. I think the Yankees will figure this out. I do. I think there's too much talent on this roster. They play in a brutal division, by the way. Right, but when you look at the Mets, I mean, that has to be the biggest disappointment of the season. Can you think of a bigger one?
No. I mean, you're absolutely right. And it goes back to, like, all the trail of bad luck that followed this team when they signed Edwin Diaz to the big contract after his breakout season, you know, as the closer for the Mets last year, and then he gets injured. And then it's just been this remarkable series of events for the Mets. And then yesterday you got the owner coming out, and he's promising to, you know, make sweeping changes. He's already calling out the manager, you know, the vote of confidence. I'm not going to fire him until the end of the year. That means you're gone. So I don't know how much longer that can go on in that organization. There's 17 games back of Atlanta in the National League East. There's 6.5 games back of even sniffing being above, you know, even close to the Phillies right now, who are in third place in that division. But it's been a disaster from day one for the Mets this year. And I hope they turn it around, but there's no way they're getting out of the logjam they're in that division.
Yeah, and again, we've talked a lot about the Mets, and I have talked a lot about the Padres, who I think are tit for tat with them when you look at the biggest disappointments. But on the flip side of that, you know, Steve, I think there's been some pleasant surprises, and maybe this is a good place to go so we're not just negative Nancys all day. You can't look past the Cincinnati Reds and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and these are two teams that are not going anywhere anytime soon. If you follow Major League Baseball and you know rosters inside and out, or at least somewhat, there's so much young talent on these two teams, and I'm going to say that the Reds and Diamondbacks are a year ahead of schedule.
I think especially the Diamondbacks. I don't think either one of us kind of saw the quick progression that we've seen from them this year. But it has been guys who have really, really stepped up to the plate for them. You know, you've got Zach Gallen. He's been phenomenal. I mean, it's been pretty much a run for them right now. So congratulations to them. I think it's great. And certainly you look at San Francisco as well. I mean, if you're a Dodgers fan or a Padres fan, and you're going through the trials and tribulations of both of those teams right now. We'll get into that a little bit later on, but don't think this is just going to go away. Don't think the the Diamondbacks or the Giants are going to go away anytime soon, because they're both going to be there. I mean, you mentioned the Reds. I'm still not sold yet on the Reds, and maybe that's just because I'm so used to seeing the Reds melt down at some point in time during the season, but no one else has really stepped out into the fore right now. The Cubs, the Cubs all of a sudden, they've hit the skids now. They've lost three in a row. The Brewers can't seem to get out of their own way. The Pirates, you know the Cardinals make that traditional run, but even now being nine games back in that division, I don't know how much of a run they'll have to make, a sustained run they'll have to make to be a factor in the National League Central.
You know why I don't trust the Reds? Because of Hunter Greene, Graham Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott, Ben Lively, Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, Hunter Greene to me is so fascinating. When Hunter Greene is pitching, I have to watch. But Greene, I mean, he'll give you four innings. He's going to hit 102 miles an hour. He's going to wow you. He's going to give you two shutout innings, and then he's going to get just shellacked the second go around. Love the kid, and I think he's got a bright future, but he is the ace in this rotation. I'm not trusting the Cincinnati Reds unless they are buyers over the next few weeks and they improve this pitching rotation. I don't think you can trust that team.
Right, that's kind of where I'm at with that. And, you mentioned the top team right now in the National League, and that, of course, being Atlanta. And if it weren't for Shohei Ohtani, wouldn't we be talking about Ronald Acuna as the overall Major League Baseball MVP the year he's put together in Atlanta right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's Ricky Henderson-esque going back to 1990. And I love the interview with Matt Olson the other night. A reporter asked him, why the Braves, how they find ways to score runs early on. And he said, because Ronald finds a way to get on base. Yeah, it's that simple, right? When you have someone like an Acuna, when you have someone like a Mookie Betts, when you have someone even like a Brandon Nimmo who's hitting 290, and I know the Mets have been dreadful. This is where the Mets fall off when we're talking about teams like the Dodgers, or we're talking about the Braves or even the Phillies. When your leadoff guy is hovering around 300, you're typically going to score runs early, Steve. It's basic knowledge.
Yeah, and you know, with the new pitch clocks and the new how many times a pitcher is allowed to throw over to first base, and you know you've got that guy who can not only change a game but can change a game in the first inning. I mean, you get down 2-0, 3-0. Suddenly, as a pitcher, as a defense, suddenly you find yourself behind that kind of a, you find yourself in that kind of a predicament often enough. You're done, and the Braves just keep doing that. And that's the thing I like about what I'm watching from this Braves organization is just how quick they jump on things.
You know what I love about the Braves? It's the same reason I picked them to get to the World Series at the beginning of the year. They have the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah,
I think it's really that simple. You know, we were talking with Bill Lasky over the last couple of days about this. The idea that some of the teams that are struggling, some of the teams that have offensive firepower, they're struggling because of the bullpen. One of the reasons the Giants have caught fire, it's because Rodgers and Duvall have been outstanding. One of the reasons why the Dodgers are not in first place is because their bullpen stinks. When you look at the Mets, they lose a world-class closer. Now you're relying on Robertson and Ottavino, right? And so you look at the Atlanta Braves front to back. I'll take that bullpen. I said this at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stick with it. I'll take that bullpen over any bullpen in baseball. Give me Anderson. Give me Minter. Give me Iglesias. Give me that bullpen. I love it. And that's the reason why the Braves are where they're at right now.
Yeah, you mentioned Raisel Iglesias with 13 saves, A.J. Minter with 10 saves. They got guys who can come in, you know, fill that gap between the sixth and eighth innings. They got plenty of firepower, and they don't need to do much during the break except just keep things kind of the way they're going right now. And again, barring, you know, a major injury of any kind here, the starting pitching has been solid. You got Spencer Strider with 9 wins, Bryce Elder 2.4 ERA. I mean, it's just been tremendous for them this season.
Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest right now as we talk Major League Baseball hitting the midway point. Steve, let's go over the rule changes. You and I were both really crotchety about this, really ornery, right? Going back to the beginning of the year, the idea of all these rule changes, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, the batter's got to stand inside. There's no more shift. You can only designate a throw over to first base twice. Like all these rules that I just deemed malarkey. I'll be the first to admit it hasn't been as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It hasn't been as bad, and I've noticed almost... And again, it's one of those things you don't think about until you start to think about it. Like, while listening to a baseball game on the radio, if I'm on the road, if I'm driving around, I'll have a Dodger game on radio. It doesn't take as long. It doesn't. It doesn't seem like much, but the games do go a little quicker, you know. And I don't notice that I'm any less entertained. I don't notice that in the case of the Dodger bullpen, I'm any less frustrated. I notice that, you know, the frustration just seems to happen a little bit sooner, you know. But it hasn't been that bad. I do still get bothered by if the batter's not in the batter's box by an X amount of seconds, and I think we need to lax off on that one just a little bit maybe. Other than that, like, that's my only gripe. But if that's my only gripe, then I really don't have one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's worked. It's worked. I hate giving Rob Manfred any sort of credit on this show because it's my show and I don't like him. But I've got to hand it to him. I mean, honestly, I think the way he's handled the entire Oakland A's situation, you know, maybe it was a little underhanded and sneaky, but I put most of that on the Oakland A's ownership. You look at some of these rule changes, I wasn't really big on it. I can't really complain about Rob Manfred here on June 29th. I can't.
Right, and isn't that something that as sports analysts that we enjoy doing more than anything else is, hey, what can we rip into Rob Manfred about? What can we tear into Roger Goodell about? What can we destroy Adam Silver with? You know, and it's commissioner hating 101, you know, but it's one of those things where you mentioned the Oakland A's and the whole, you know, dealing with Las Vegas and dealing with the folks in Oakland. I put this all on the A's organization, and the idea that they were trying the idea that the A's organization tried to sell this idea, hey, we're going to get 30,000 people a game to come out to watch, you know, Oakland A's baseball. Okay, you might be right, because the majority of people that are going to come to Las Vegas baseball aren't going to be fans of the Las Vegas team,
right?
Because they're terrible, right? As
right.
they sit right now, the Oakland A's, they're terrible. But you can't make that promise to people. Like, if you're trying to hardball negotiate city councilmen and county commissioners in Nevada, they're a lot smarter than you are, so don't do that. And, you know, I don't know what it is about the city of Oakland with sports teams losing teams left and right. I don't know what that is, but, I mean, ask the Raiders how well that worked out. But give Manfred credit for, you know, trying to deal with that in the most, you know, non-offensive way possible. But I don't think they're going to Las Vegas. I maintain that Las Vegas gets an expansion team, much like what we saw with the Vegas Golden Knights. They're going to create a team for Las Vegas. I don't think it's going to be Oakland, and I think Oakland or San Jose, now we're hearing that they may be in the mix now. I think they're staying in Northern California.
Let me ask you this. Do you view a dome stadium as a destination stadium to go visit in the summer? I just don't. And I know that this is a very minuscule item on the agenda when we're talking about a team moving to Las Vegas. But, Steve, when I look at some of the ballparks that I enjoy, and I look at some of the ballparks that have become a vacation destination, like on the bucket list, they're all outdoors because it's baseball. You see what I'm saying here?
No. I understand this, and I know where you're going with this, and I will give you this answer. I have been to one in my life, one sporting event in a domed stadium. One. I went to a football game at where is it? God, I can't even think of it now. Atlanta, Arizona, when they closed
okay.
the roof.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I hated it.
Yeah, it's different. It's different.
I don't like it. It's not natural, right? And I don't know what it's like to watch a baseball game, but I can't imagine it's any better, right? I think it's even worse because you want the sounds, you want the bright lights, and you can't mimic that in a domed stadium. I was watching the Dodgers Rockies game the other day, and it was all about how, you know, as the sun's coming down behind Dodger Stadium, how it's tough to make catches on the first base side. And Freddie Freeman was having some trouble making some catches on some pop flies to the right side of the infield. You don't get that in a domed stadium. You don't have those elements. And I'm not a fan of domed stadiums in any way, shape, or form. So a long answer to your question, and I'll wrap it up with this. I understand you have to have a domed stadium in Las Vegas. You have to. There is no way you're going to get 30,000 people to sweat it out on a hot August afternoon when it's 110 degrees to watch a crappy baseball team like the A's. You're not going to do it. So you have to have a domed stadium. But no, to me, a domed stadium is not a destination thing for me. It's not a bucket list thing. It never has been.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. There is so much more to get into when we talk mid-season grades. Let's end with this, Steve. We are running short on time, so let's end with this. Give me the three best teams in the National League, three best teams in the American League, not necessarily by record, but just by the eye test. The three best. Who have you seen?
All right. Well, in the National League, it's got to be Atlanta. I think they're far and away right now, running away with the National League right now. I'm gonna throw in Miami. I mean, people haven't talked enough about Miami this year. You know, sitting 6.5 games back, but I'm gonna throw in Miami there, and I'm gonna throw in Arizona just because they haven't gone anywhere, and I think a lot of us were assuming they were gonna go somewhere. So I'm gonna go Atlanta. I'm gonna put Arizona number two, and I'll put Miami number three. But I want to preface one thing before I get to the American League by saying this. My panic number for the Dodgers is zero.
Right.
I am not panicking on this at all.
No.
I have no worries at all that the Dodgers will figure it out. Whatever they have to do as far as trade deadline is concerned, they will get it done. But I'll go Atlanta, Arizona, and Miami in the National League. And in the American League, I don't think there's any question right now. It's Tampa Bay, it's Texas, and it's Baltimore. Shockingly.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you in the American League. Tampa and Texas kind of seem like they're in the world of their own. Can Baltimore maintain? I think they can. You know, when you're 48-31 in the AL East, it's not a fluke. So I can't disagree with you in the American League. In the National League, you know, I'm going to say it's the Braves, Diamondbacks, and Dodgers.
Okay.
I think those are the three best teams in the National League. And I agree with you that the Dodgers will figure it out. I also believe that the Diamondbacks, look, the Cy Young Award right now, it's either Gallen or it's Kershaw in the National League. And when you have a team that has the elite pitcher in that league and you're above 500 in the chase for the division, I have to put you in that top tier. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And for everything, again, we talked about how everything went wrong for the Mets, and you see where they're at right now in the National League East. For everything that's gone wrong for the Dodgers during this season, Gavin Lux, Max Muncy, the free agent moves they didn't make, the free agents they lost, the guys they couldn't get before the season started in the offseason, for all the moves they didn't make, look where they're at right now. They're three games back in what might be not the best division in Major League Baseball, but certainly the most competitive one, where four of the five teams have a plus run differential. And the Dodgers, if you want to talk about bullpens, I mean, the bullpen, which has been shaky for the Dodgers, but this team has won 9 games with shutouts this year. I don't know any other team that's got 9 shutouts right now that's sitting in third place in their division.
Right. Yeah, the NL West might be. It very well may be the best division in baseball, and I say that because we believe the Diamondbacks are for real. We know the Dodgers are for real. We know the Giants are a good team, and the Padres should turn this on at any given moment. Outside of the Rockies, who are just putrid, there's not a bad team in that division. The Red Sox are probably they are better than the Rockies, but really, when you look at it front to back, it's got to be the AL East or the NL West.
But as a Dodgers fan, aren't we enjoying watching the Padres just flounder?
Oh, hell yes. Come on.
I am enjoying every moment of this because of all the guys who you needed to step up to the plate this year, you need a Jake Cronenworth, and suddenly he has become non-existent.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I definitely am. Steve Bornstein, again, our guest. Steve, running short on time, always a pleasure to get you on the show. We've got to do it again soon, especially with the trade deadline looming. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well, sir. Thank you so much.